tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode
300
of the Toonami Escape Podcast. I'm Grixino. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
Seacaller.
Hey, guys.
Seda.
Hello.
And Crocodile.
Hello.
And also for the 300th episode, we have Jason DeMarco.
No.
Not actually, though.
On Twitter, doing an AMA.
We should have, someone should have prepped a voice clip of his or something.
Hi, I'm Jason DeMarco.
Has he answered anything yet?
Shard asked him a question about Sentai. If has anything changed with Sentai since AMC bought him? And he's like, nope. And he's like, okay.
Okay. I mean, that's good news. Like, so
is this AMA just one of those random I have time to kill, just ask me stuff sort of
just
things?
Ask yeah. me stuff.
Literally says, I'm bored. Ask me questions.
Bored.
Can you see the tweet in here?
Let me see. Oh, well, he just ended it. So let's
well,
see.
It started like a little like 50 minutes ago, so it's not surprising that, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're apparently doing stuff with Projection IG.
Not surprised.
Isn't that the ninja thing they announced or whatever? Wasn't that?
I don't know.
That was the CG one.
No, isn't that...
Oh, okay, here we go. So, is the Rick and Morty anime series a Toonami original, or is it airing on Adult Swim proper? It may air on Toonami at some point, but the current plans are for it to air on Adult Swim proper.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, this is actually kind of a big one right here. Any big plans for the future that will blow our minds? We have tons of plans for our new. For now, our new bosses have sort of put everything on hold across the company as they assess what they want us all to do. We know it looks to fans like we're just sitting around, but we literally can't do much right now, and money is very tight, too. So it really just sounds like a lot of what's going on might just be...
We just did a merger. Everyone stopped doing anything until we decide if we want to kill you or not.
Exactly. It's like... We just did a merger. Let's see, you know, like they're figuring out what the hell they're doing. It's a merger, you know. So that we might be like this for a minute.
What are the chances of seeing older anime on the block? Not something crazy like Speed Racer, but something 90s old like Slayers and an early morning slot. Because of the recent consolidation in the anime market, we are looking at, among other things, airing classic shows Toonami never had a shot at before.
Interesting. Ooh.
I mean, that's a good idea. Like, I would like Slayers back on the block. It's I don't know how well it's held up, but I really enjoyed it. That was one of my early gateways anime, so I'd like to see it back on the block. I mean,
on a
not
scale
back on the
on
block.
A scale from 1 to 10, what are the chances for a second season of Shenmue? Currently a 6 or 7, I'd say.
That's not bad.
It's pretty that's high.
Recently, hang on. You recently posted about something you were pretty massively excited about. Was it Toonami-related and what genre? It's partially Toonami-related in that it will likely end up there. It's a project with a very exciting, creatively vibrant legend and a hugely popular studio that are absolutely crushing the project. So
yeah, that was a tweet that he made. That I know they're referring to a tweet that he made like 2 or 3 days ago about, like, I've got something I want to talk about, but I can't.
Right.
Okay. Well, that could be anything, but, you know, it's encouraging at least. I guess it's clearly not Trigun, new Trigun, but, you know... who knows what it could be.
Here's a fun one. Well, here's a fun one. Were there any anime that aired on Toonami you were shocked you were allowed to air? Helsing, Parasite, Food Wars, Kill la Kill. I was like, Made in Abyss? He was like, nope,
half of those
never any doubt.
Super violent, and half of those are because they're really lewd, I guess, is what's going on.
Yeah.
Is Dinozenon still on the table at some point? And he says, hard to say, we'd sure love to air it.
I mean, he said basically anything Sony has the rights to is not likely for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think anything Funimation, maybe not gone for like ever, but right now it's like we have to wait.
Because they're both undergoing mergers at the moment.
You know what, Seda? You just quoted him.
Wait, what?
This was a response. Anything Sony has right now is looking unlikely for the foreseeable future, but I never say never.
Like, I imagine Sony's going through the exact same thing he's going through right now with everything just being, you know, them slamming the brakes on literally everything.
5 seasons of Fooly Cooly, but only 2 of Big O. What's the roadblock there? I have investigated making more Big O, but for various reasons I have been told it's just not possible right now by the rights holders. Maybe one day.
rights holders?
Yes.
Because he only partially owns the rights. He's got season two.
They only got involved.
Someone else has season one.
Yeah, that's true. But isn't Sunrise and thus Bandai Namco the owners of
this? Right, but if they don't want it, right, but if they don't want to do it, that's it.
There are currently no plans for Boruto to return.
Was the decision to include some non-anime, such as Primal, one mandated by executives or a creative choice? DeMarco, we asked.
Interesting.
Basically, they just, like, we wanted to air this because we needed something.
I mean, probably, that seems fair. Primal's a good show.
I mean, here's there's a theme here is, like, if people ask about thing that's on Funny Roll, and he's like, ask Sony.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, Sony's not answering their calls or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is all fascinating. I'm going to have to look through the rest of these. I mean, I'm just kind of skimming them right now.
Yeah, it sounds like it was pretty informative. Like, some good news, some bad news, but it's overall pretty informative.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here. IGPX on HBO Max. Maybe we're working with Max on their appetite for anime. We'd love to bring more library titles to beef up their offerings. So it sounds like maybe they don't know how much anime they want to put on HBO Max at the moment.
I mean, it looks like HBO Max's anime plan was... let's make anime. It has been like the Toonami plan of let's make anime based on big Western property.
Right, because that's because they lost Crunchyroll. But they also have all the Ghibli stuff.
What anime is HBO Max making or funding? Or
The Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Oh, I guess I either never knew that or forgot about
also
that.
Also Rick and Morty, so, I mean...
Oh, okay, yeah, I suppose.
Again... this doesn't mean anything, but they would want to air season 5 of Food Wars.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, what's the... I mean, I guess going between...
But isn't that just because everything's on pause then? Because they literally just said there's been no change in relationship with Sentai, so that's not a block. But he did say that everything in the company is kind of on pause, so that seems like the issue then.
They just don't have the money,
Hang on. I'll be honest, it's kind of hard to me ask what's coming out or not coming to the block since the streaming climate has been having massive changes recently. What's probably the best way of keeping tabs on that without annoying you, LOL? DeMarco, I mean, I'm just not going to engage about it. COVID, the launch of a major streaming service, two massive mergers in 3 years, plus the Sony merger, has just completely changed our whole situation in 1,000 different ways. So it does sort of sound like between the Sony merger and the merger
Discovery.
He just went under... Yeah, the Discovery thing, that everything's just kind of upside down at the moment.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, that perfectly answers exactly what we thought was going on pretty much to a T. So,
okay. So, here's one. Is more DC stuff on the block a possibility, even if it's just re-airing stuff that's already available on HBO Max, as we've seen last year with Harley Quinn? We have, for many years, been begging our counterparts at WB to let us air more DC stuff at a price we can afford. We're seeing encouraging signs in the last year or two in that regard, so hopefully we will have more of that coming.
Batman the Animated Series!
They had Batman the Animated Series back in the day, so, you know. I think it's just one of those things where it really would have helped them out, spread stuff out a little more. You know, like, I love Batman the Animated Series because it's also coming back.
I mean, I think it sounds like it's a lot to do with just who's working at WB at the time. If they're cool to play ball or not. I think that's just it. It's just who's there and are they a cool cat or are they a dick? Or, like, how do they get up them in out of bed that morning, certain stuff. For example, Harley Quinn Season 2 would be awesome on the block. I think Season 3 is premiering on HBO Max soon, so that could maybe be on the block like a year from now or maybe 2 years from now or something. Like, there's like tons of possibilities. There's stuff that hasn't aired in a while. Batman Beyond. I mean, I see Justice League.
What
the fuck's going on with Young Justice? Like, they could
start on HBO. That's on HBO Max.
Yeah, so they could start from Season 1 on Toonami and Season 2 and then maybe eventually get to the third and fourth season months or years down the line. Like, there's content there that would be, I think, appealing to average Toonami viewer. It's just a matter of, and of course, rights aren't an issue, so I think it's just a matter of whoever's working at WB, if they like being asked or not or whatever.
Well, it's not that money. Mm-hmm. He specifically said he has to pay them. Like, they have to pay their own other subsidiaries to do
this. They have to move the money around.
Yeah.
But he said the price they can afford, so that, like, I mean, I think prices are very negotiable. So it's just a matter of, you know, already
okay.
How much, you know,
here's, money here's they an, want. Here's an interesting one. Will Toonami ever co-produce a new Lupin project? Toonami would not, but I might.
Okay, that means, because again, he's over WB animation yeah. and creation, yeah.
It makes it sounds gonna open up his retirement fund, just pull out some money, and just all right, give yeah. me some Lupin.
Oh god, they let DeMarco make whatever he wants at a bigger level. Oh god.
Yeah. Okay, so there's also I saw a thing which was it? Yeah, they asked the one that got away that never got to air on Toonami, Escaflowne, which we knew.
Can't believe they didn't go back to that.
Yeah.
Well, it's on the table now because he's saying old shows might be.
Wait, here's.
They got recently dubbed too, right? And like upscale
Escaflowne? Yeah, which is why I was shocked we never got it. Okay, what's the one anime from the Adult Swim anime days you wish more people watched? All of them, but Morbido specifically.
Oh yeah, that did air on Toonami. I forgot about
Adult
that.
Adult Swim action.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Potato.
That was a fantastic show. I love that show so much.
It's a bit of a slow grind from what I recall, at least to start with, right?
Mm-hmm. No, like it started really hype and then it slowed down for a bit into Slice Life and then it went super hype again. Okay, here's another one about the merger thing. How have these recent company changes regarding Funny being absorbed into Crunchyroll Warner Discovery merger been affecting Toonami? Frankly, a lot. The reason our lineup looks like it does right now is a combination of those two factors changing everything. But we have a lot of plans and internal momentum that I think will get us in a better place soon enough. So that's like the most specific answer we've gotten on that so far.
I don't envy DeMarco. I mean, he was just put into a role to not only create new content, but acquire existing content. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right as he gets this job, all this stuff happens. He's got to be in a pretty tight yeah. situation. So I don't envy him at all. But so I think maybe we'll save the rest of those for, yeah. you know, to ruse later. But that's a lot of really good information, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Also news related, we should mention, of course, and I guess it's directly related to everything we just talked about, is of course there is no new debut this week. And in fact, the most recent information released from Toonami and the new schedule for this week suggests that we were probably going to be in a double ship it in situation for at least a few more weeks.
I can't believe Tom lied to me.
Yeah, Tom lied, hopes died. But looking at schedule, Primal has 3 more weeks after the July 4th holiday, right? So theoretically, the next time you expect the block change, I suppose, would be the weekend of July 30th or so, right? So yeah. The last weekend of July. That's when I think we'd start to look for, if there's to be any change, looking to change then.
Okay, so this is just the last one, because you know I'm scrolling through and this kind of feels like the most important one. The guy asks, I'd like to assume plans are in place to secure the future. Getting tired of hearing stuff like Adult Swim on life support from people every day. DeMarco, we have a lot of plans, and clearly there is a commitment to originals that is continuous. I don't know what's in the future, but the people in charge say they want Toonami to be a part of it, so take heart.
Okay, that's good. I mean,
yeah,
you have this brand that people know and associate with anime in the, right. in the United States.
It's so, also been a ratings winner for a long time. I don't know what the current situation is, but it's been a ratings winner for this time slot.
Like, we've all, like, I remember us for a while just following those numbers, and then it just kind of stopped because it was, like, the only thing to ever beat Toonami in that time slot was, like, Fight Night, and that was it.
Yeah.
So if you're showing an anime thing, you might as well put Toonami on it.
Yeah,
just as a put brand. It there.
So I'm guessing that person who asked that question probably been hearing that rumor that we talked about briefly a couple weeks ago and probably
right,
been
right.
bugging them. And so, you know, it seems like a fair question. And obviously DeMarco has to be a bit of a hype man, but I mean, I think what he's saying makes sense. And, you know, of course he, you know, he's not psychic and whatnot, but I think, mm-hmm. you know, I've been somewhat optimistic in that. Obviously, we're going through a rough patch and we're going through for a bit longer, but I never thought the demise of Toonami specifically was imminent or super likely. Like, eventually, all things must come to end, but I think we're at least, even if the schedule looks kind of whack for a bit, I think we're at least the block and the brand are in good place for a good while.
Like, all of this has kind of made me feel a little bit better about, you know, the double One Piece, the double Naruto, and like all of this stuff, simply because it's like, okay, so it is what we thought, and it's like the constant mergers have completely fucked up all the gears, and nothing's turning around the way it should be right now. It's just a matter of how long it takes for everything to streamline.
So there you have it, the highlights of DeMarco twittering a bit.
Because they still haven't put One Piece on Crunchyroll, the dub anyway.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. But, I mean, who knows? Licenses, who knows? Fucking licenses, man.
Seriously.
Why is it so hard?
It's crazy.
Anyway, we talk about Lupin. You want to talk about Lupin?
Well, before we do that, I wanted to do something special for our 300th episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not, unfortunately, there's no real reason or cause to do anything more special for episode 300. It's, you know, how it is.
We didn't well, come in.
I thought
that
DeMarco thing was pretty well timed for the 300th episode. I think that was pretty informative.
It was.
I'm sure our listeners will appreciate that.
I mean, it's just I wish we had like a big, like, 6-hour block full of new shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
Or, like, you know, we had thought to do, like, a re-ranking of everything.
Yeah, but at this point, I'm just like, eh.
So, this will be really quick. I just kind of wanted to, like, kind of lighten the mood a little bit and celebrate the fact that we've been doing this for, like, 300 episodes and just sort of reflect on what New Toonami is. I'm going to post the list of all the shows that have aired on New Toonami so that you guys can look at it. And I just kind of wanted to ask each of you a question, a couple of questions. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'll state the questions now and I'll give you my answers. And I'd just be curious to hear what you guys think about your own personal choices. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So my first question is, what is your favorite show that they've aired on New Toonami? And if you want, you can say one or two or three of them. So, like, what is your favorite show out of all the shows they've showed on New Toonami? And then the second question, which I think is a little more interesting, is what is your favorite group watch that we've had on Toonami? Now, it could be the same show, but it could very well be something you hated because group watches obviously can be anything.
Right.
So while you're looking at the lists and kind of thinking about it, I'll go ahead and give you mine since I knew the questions in advance. So my favorite shows that have aired on New Toonami in no particular order are Soul Eater, because that was the one that kind of got me to watch Toonami. Gurren Lagann, because it's like my favorite show ever. And then Promised Neverland, which surprised me. I thought it was one of the best made shows. Of course, I'm only talking about season one. Second season sucked, but the first season was really good. And as far as my favorite group watches, the favorite, like, talking about shows with you guys, like, number one, honestly, Sword Art Online. Never got tired of talking about that damn show.
Yep.
Never got sick of that.
It's pretty great. I love talking about Kill la Kill. I thought the Kill la Kill reactions were amazing in the thread in real time and in our discussions. And then more recently, Made in Abyss had kind of a similar shock and a lot to talk about. So those were my favorite group watches from the last 300 episodes. So I guess I'll start with you, Grex. What are your thoughts?
Give me Space Dandy.
Space Dandy. Okay,
everything.
Great.
Space Dandy.
Yeah,
that
great
first,
choice.
That first episode of the second season specifically. The fucking alternate Dandy. Fucking depressed Dandy.
The Dandyverse. Yeah, I need to watch that again.
Crisis like, on Infinite Dandy.
Yes.
I want to die.
Oh my gosh.
I still remember when that happened. I died laughing.
Was that also your favorite group watch?
That's one that might be top. I mean, that might not be number one specific group watch moment. The number one specific group watch moment is probably that Sword Art Online finale, season one finale.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where he I'm talking about when he slices that one dude up.
Okay.
That whole episode.
Gotcha.
Everyone was losing their minds about that one.
That was a pretty memorable.
Okay, and also Hey, those first three episodes of the new Samurai Jack were pretty good.
Oh, those were like ultra top tier.
Definitely.
So those are I think those are probably the absolute highlights.
Mm-hmm. Great. So B-dubs, what about you? Like, what's your favorite show or shows that they've aired?
Okay. So like the favorite shows is like, I got
like your personal favorite, your personal favorite.
Right. So like my favorites were like, I loved Space Dandy. I loved Black Lagoon. Brotherhood, I really liked. And then I'm going all the way down the list to IGPX. Like those first like five or six episodes were like, I will admit they are hot garbage. But if you take those episodes out and you just look at everything else, it's like, it's a pretty good racing show, you know?
Yeah.
Like it took them half of that first season to figure out what the hell this show was supposed to be. But when they figured it out, it worked.
Should we have our robot racing show be more about like trying to find a sponsor and like,
and like parts and stuff, or should it be about racing? Robot racing?
It's like, no, you idiot! Make the robots go fast and slam into each other! Don't stop it!
I mean, that is part of racing, but it's not the interesting part that people watch, like NASCAR or.
I mean, it actually is. People do get into that with Formula. People do get into that with Formula One.
Yeah, it's just that in this case, it wasn't great because, like, I think if that stuff had been season two.
Unironically go, well, Red Bull sucks this year because their car won't stop porpoising. I know, but I know as a person that everyone is porpoising this year in Formula One.
Right. No, but like I feel like if those first five episodes had been in season two, along with like the personal drama stuff they had going on, it probably would have been a better show.
Yeah, I agree. You know? B-dubs, what is your most memorable or favorite group watch show that we had on the block?
Oh, you know I got to go with that Super AIDS right there. You know I got to go with you know that's like my top moment because I make the joke like 3 minutes before and then it's right there.
You called something else on Sword Art too. There was something else that you called. I forget. Did. It was towards the end.
I think one of the returns of Kaiba when he was in the robot or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the robot Kaiba thing.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kaiba!
Like, so keep in mind, I don't look up Sword Art Online stuff. I'm like, these would be the two stupidest things they could possibly do, so it'll probably happen, and then there we are.
Yeah, do you feel better having been able to understand this show so well that you can predict it? Or do you feel ashamed?
It's horrible. I feel deeply ashamed. You know? I'm like, my mind works in the same, can work in the same way as a madman's can. I feel bad.
I mean, I think it's just a matter of recognizing tropes and cliches more than anything.
Right. I mean, that too. But I also liked Samurai 7. Like, that was a show that was really early, but all the reactions very much stuck with me.
Okay. I wasn't around for those reactions, so I don't know.
It was a lot of fun. It was just pure, the guy sold his wife, you know? And then we had Casher and Sins, which was also a great group watch, because at one point near the end, we had this, like, alternate universe flashback thing. And then, for some reason, they do a, like, you know, 5 minutes of the main character's love interest banging some other guy. And it's just like, what the, you know, like that kind of fuckery stuff is always fun. Yeah,
you know, it's been like 10 years. It's not too late for us to cut our losses and run away from this whole thing. We should.
Yeah.
Nah, it's worth it for those moments though.
But like I liked the Hunter Hunter reactions. The Crisis on Infinite Dandy stuff was great. I like, that the episode where Dandy went out on a date with what's her name?
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing.
Scarlet.
And they damn almost you train.
And they almost get together, if not for that.
Oh, yeah, that was heartbreaking.
Train. Yeah, like that was a show that went from like laugh out loud funny to oh my god, this is some Romeo and Juliet nonsense.
So Seda, your turn. What are your favorite show or shows that they've aired?
Probably my favorite is Black Lagoon. Not necessarily the best. But I really like the style of Black Lagoon. It doesn't really feel like anime to me. It kind of feels like an 80s over-the-top action movie made into a series as an anime. So, like, it's not like it's not believable because it does a lot of unbelievable things. But I just really like the style and the tone of it.
One of the single lines I remember the best out of this entire thing is when Roberta unveils her umbrella shotgun and Revy is just like, Dutch, I know what I want for Christmas.
That entire part of the thing was just great. She went pure Terminator on them.
Yeah, it felt like a Tarantino movie as an anime, and that was like really cool.
And not enough feet.
I've heard this show described as created and directed by the bastard love child of John Woo and Quentin Tarantino. And I think that's probably the best way to describe it. Like, it feels like it's like Cowboy Bebop in that it's one of those shows that you could show a regular person and, you know, it will get them into it.
Yeah, saying the tone of that show, it's not anime. It's very contemporary.
I mean, those vampire twins are pretty
That's animated. Like the only part.
Right. That's the only thing. But even that, like, you know, modern audiences have seen stuff that's just as bad with Game of Thrones, you know? Like, what's-his-face got his, like, dick chopped off at some point. Like, if you can handle that, you can handle vampire twins.
All right. And then, Seda, what about group watches? Or, unless you have more favorite shows.
I don't know if I have any other, like, really big favorite. I guess I could say, even though I'm not, like, totally on board like a lot of people, I didn't know anything about One Piece before it came. And then, before it came, I, like, marathoned the first 207 episodes or whatever it was. Because that's where it started. So, before it came, I knew nothing about One Piece. Now it's like I've seen up to where we are now in Fishman Island. So, like, okay, at least, you know, and it's broadly enjoyable. There are obviously high points and low points, but, like, that's just a show. Like, I wouldn't have been knowing anything about it had I not been introduced to it. In terms of group watch, I'll Sword Art Online is kind of a gimme there. What else? There was only 8 episodes or so, but Hellsing Ultimate had a few group watch like moments. And like when you have like rivers of blood, I remember specifically there was an episode where I forget the girl's name who becomes the vampire, but like she's
Police Girl. Her name is Police Girl. No,
there's one episode where she's like
Sarah?
Man's like
Neris. Victoria. Saris Victoria.
There's this one episode where she like mans like this gigantic cannon Gatling thing on a ship.
I think it was anti-tank rifle, right?
I don't remember. It was just like a gigantic gun of some sort. And I think she's shooting down a blimp at that point or something. And like I remember like moments like that were hype. And then the show got kind of stupid at points, but kind of like Sword Art Online sometimes works for a group setting. So I think, you know, Hellsing had a few good moments like that.
Definitely. I definitely remember that show being a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be very dour and serious, but it was it was more fun.
No.
I still remember the one point of that show where like the main vampire guy, like I can't remember his name, but like he's trapped on like an island and he can't get anywhere. Alucard. Like he just steals an aircraft carrier at one point.
Yep.
You know, and it's just him and he's riding on the top of the aircraft carrier and it's like, I don't know if it was his bass or some nonsense is driving it and it's just like this ludicrous thing.
I just remember Saris being like so kind of goofy and then like being contrasted with Alucard. Like Alucard was just like this incredible ultimate badass who could kill anyone at any moment. And he's going to like kind of puts up with her, but he does it in his own way, which I thought was fun and interesting. I don't know.
Right. But at the end, she's actually useful and you see why he does it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that leaves Crocodile. What are your favorite shows to have aired on New Toonami?
Well, I guess the issue of going last is that I think almost all my picks have been taken. I was gonna say,
nobody said JoJo yet for some reason.
I mean, JoJo is excellent, but I think in terms of like the tippity tip top, it would definitely be stuff like Space Dandy or Hunter x Hunter or I don't know, like Black Lagoon and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Well, I guess Brotherhood aired on Adult Swim Action beforehand, so that doesn't count or something, but it counts now because it aired on New Toonami after it came back. I suppose that's how we're counting things.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that aired on New Toonami. It's like, and it's really, it's not so much is it the best show that's mid-made. It's more, it's what's your personal favorite?
Like, a lot of these shows I'd seen before they, like, okay, so Space Dandy and Hunter x Hunter, obviously, I'd not seen before they come to New Toonami. So that would definitely count. But stuff like Black Lagoon or Gurren Lagann and stuff were shows I watched before they showed up on American television. So those already, like, I already knew those shows were superlative. I guess Attack on Titan started out kind of like I was not impressed by the first season that much, but it's just been getting better and better. And like, I don't know, like as I said, assuming they land the ending, it's definitely like I think probably end of a go tier series. What do you call it? Gundam Wing, Mobile Suit Gundam: The Origin, I thought was absolutely fantastic. It's it was nice to have just a really, really fucking good Gundam show on the block.
Remember when we did a big OP bracket and we were like, yeah, that's the best OP of all time.
Yeah.
It's a really good.
It's really good.
Third one? Or that one has three openings.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about
the one that won. Yeah.
The one you know. The one you know. The one you remember.
And obviously Samurai Jack was, it did peter off near the end a bit, but definitely started strong. It was really good overall. JoJo's, yeah, I guess that deserves a mention. It was JoJo's is pretty great. It's a shame that Stone Ocean's in Netflix jail and being stretched over like 5 years or whatever nonsense going on there.
I can't believe Netflix fucking murdered JoJo.
Yeah, they
like, has the second set of episodes come out yet?
No,
it's coming out in like December. It's coming like holiday.
Mm-hmm. So like literally a year.
Still, yes. See part five memes all over the internet. Like that shit. Like is still, and the piano song, the Jonas theme. Like I still see that shit nowadays. So, like, Stone Ocean just got fucking ruined, basically, by
Netflix. Why are our subscribers dropping? And it's like, you guys were lucky that Squid Game was so huge that your binge watch bullshit couldn't smother it in its crib.
They're, like, making a Squid Game, like, game show based on the outline of the series. And I'm just like, did they watch the show or, like, understand its premise? Because that feels like...
That's not the point. The point is money!
I mean, there are less gross ways to make money, though. Anyway, yeah. A lot of shows people already mentioned I were the ones I really loved already. Champloo is a great show, but I saw it beforehand, so I don't know how much I feel like counting it.
Oh, that's a good one. I hadn't seen that. Actually, also, I know I'm kind of jumping in here. Yeah. I don't think I ever saw, like, every episode of Cowboy Bebop until... I watched it like straight through on Toonami. Like, really? You know, I had seen several of the episodes kind of when I happened to catch them in some random order. But that was like my first time watching it like start to finish, episode to episode. And obviously it's an excellent, excellent show. Yeah. So.
And to close out this segment, what were your favorite group watch moments or group watch shows that happened?
I feel like... not just to repeat other things people mentioned, because like SAO is an abomination, but occasionally hilarious abomination. Like, you know, they've already been, you know, Black Goon had some moment. Like, you know, people have already said a lot of the ones I would have said. I think one that came to mind of one of the more recent ones was some of the reactions to Food Wars episodes were pretty funny.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking Food Wars is a decent group show.
And I feel like the season one of One Punch Man was pretty good.
Super hype.
Yeah, obviously season two was kind of killed the momentum, I feel, of a lot of the series. Season one was pretty excellent. And then Mob Psycho, that aired on Toonami, the first season. Obviously, we've had issues getting the second season and third season off the table, most certainly. I feel like the first season had some good moments, didn't it? I mean, like, that in terms of reactions and stuff, because it was a really strong series, but I was just trying to remember things that made the thread go all flutter. It feels like Mob Psycho's one that I recall, but maybe that was just me.
Yeah, cool. I just kind of wanted to talk about him because it's like, you know, we're pretty down in the dumps right now when it comes to what's on the block, but I just want to think back to like, man, we've had so many awesome shows on this block and so many like awesome group watches. I think it's really cool.
Toonami has been a formative part of my life, and I feel the lives of everyone here and the lives of millions of people. And I hope it continues that to be that way for future generations and whatnot, even if, you know, things are a little rough and whatnot. And, you know, there's other places streaming and all of these big. But I still hope that Toonami can have a place in, you know, introducing a lot of people to the wonderful world of anime and action cartoons, and just animation in general and good times.
Well, that was a nice trip down memory lane.
It was.
Anyway, Lupin? Lupin the Third, Part 6, Episode 10, Darwin's Bird. This is another Mamoru Oshii episode, if you couldn't tell, because it's mostly Fujiko listening to a weird pasty guy talk about birds and fossils and how Darwin was full of shit.
Actually, evolution is wrong.
That was a lie. I want you to go into the British Museum and steal the actual fossil of this. And, buddy, I don't think anybody knew where this one was going.
No. I mean, I guess we could just say it right now. According to the world of Lupin, evolution is fake. And they're saying that
God is real.
God is real and angels are real. And so is the devil. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know what I will admit. I was kind of like, my attention was divided from some fighting game streams. So I wasn't like paying 100% attention. But like, I just don't understand why this was. Why was he? They could just have like a mystery caper about like stealing some fossils or like there's lots of cool things you can just do from the scope of archaeology and paleontology. They didn't need to add God and angels and all this. Not just overcomplicated it and like makes it totally incongruent with like the rest of Lupin lore, which I know is kind of funny to say Lupin has lore, but it's just like, what are you doing? Why? This just seems so unnecessary.
It's so really out there. I mean, I don't have a problem with it because, like I said in the thread, it's like Lupin has ghosts and other weird supernatural stuff, I guess.
Oh, right. Remember that season 5? There was it in series 4 or series 5 where Lupin spent the whole episode with a girl
with a ghost? It was 4, I think. Yeah. But yeah,
I think that was 4.
But this is kind of like, this is such a weird episode for me because it's like so like, I don't know. It's so like dark. Like at the end there, when Lupin was like talking, like what they reveal. Okay, I don't quite understand exactly what happened at the very end, but I think what happened is they opened a secret wall, and what they thought was just a bird fossil ended up being the fossil of Lucifer,
the fallen with the wings of Lucifer. After
yeah, the wings are like a full size thing. It was big as them, right? And then like. Remember, like, Lupin leans over Fujiko and he's like, it's Lucifer. And he starts talking really weird.
That wasn't Lupin. That was Mikhail.
Oh, that was him. Oh, so.
And okay, also, there was some timey-wimey shit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is another thing. So she hacks the computer system, which what you think is going to happen is it's going to do the thing
it's
that happened cause in Speed.
The camera loop.
Right, it's going to cause a camera loop.
But in fact, everyone is looping.
Yeah, everything is looping. Even real world is looping.
Mikhail doing some bullshit.
Yeah. And so, but anyway, it gets so dark and it's like, and then the episode ends.
And Fujiko's like, and that's what might have happened if I took this job from God, but I'm not going to do that.
Is there like a second part to this episode or is that it?
No.
I kind of thought, once they got to the end, I thought, this has got to be a two-parter. But then nope. I guess Mikhail, he just like unfolds his wings and flies away. And I guess that's it. Okay.
Anyway, how'd you like Fujiko's performance as Amanda Waller from Suicide Squad?
Yeah, that was a little random and a little weird. And I kind of echoed a point someone in the thread made where they knew to draw. So it was Fujiko disguising herself as a black woman. And he knew to draw her hands properly, which is something you see a lot of animators, especially in Japan, not know how to do, draw the hands of people with like dark complexions properly. Like our hands are different, are not the same. The palms of our hands are not the same as the back of our hands.
Like, right. The coloration. Right. Yeah.
It's something very obvious. You like interact with a lot of black people, but or like people of dark complexions, but like it's something that a lot of people just miss or don't forget about or whatever. But then they drew her lips kind of really weirdly, like not all the way. Like, Commander Black from Dragon Ball, but, like, halfway there between that and it was just like, yeah, that's, you knew to do X correctly, but you kind of fudged on Y, and I don't really understand, like, it's not like the end of the world, but it's definitely something I noticed, and it's definitely a lot of other people in the thread noticed, and it was just like, yeah, that's a weird whiff. I don't know, but.
You do this right, and then you do.
That's a detail that like a lot of animators or artists like either don't remember or don't recognize or skip over, but then you mess up the thing that a lot of people at least nowadays know you should not do. Like, and you didn't mess it up all the way, but you messed up halfway, and it's just like, what is going. I don't know. Whatever. It didn't ruin the episode, but it was just like very weird.
Also, she pulls off the face, and then like suddenly Fujiko's giant poofy hair is there, and it's like there's no way that was stuffed inside that mask somehow.
You know what's not? You know what? There's no way was stuffed inside a thing. Her titties inside those coats.
Those masks—they're more advanced than you realize. They can actually change your body shape as well.
Those coats don't come in that size. That sorry, Fujiko.
Yeah,
she's like, watch me.
I think it was someone who. I think it was another person thread mentioned like, how does anyone trust anyone in this world if disguise is this advanced? Because you can't pull this shit off in real life. You just can't.
Yeah,
I don't think we've had an episode yet where someone didn't pull a mask off in this season. I think it happens every episode.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's just Lupin and his guys have these masks.
No, it's Sherlock just like Holmes, a secret. Too. Sherlock Holmes, too.
Well, I mean, Sherlock Holmes.
We've said this in a previous episode. There must be some, like, secret, like, mask maker who's just making bank, like, charging Lupin and the crew and others for, like, these ridiculous masks.
That person, Ethan Hunt.
Oh, God.
I sort of like this episode as a weird whack.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? Yeah. I don't know.
It's a memorable episode. Like when you think back on the season, you won't forget the episode.
I definitely need to give it a rewatch because it was.
You won't forget the episode where God was like, "Hey, Mikhail,
evolution is wrong."
Yeah, bird fossils are just they're all the bird fossils we have. Of which there are only a few, but the ones that we have are just recreations of actual angel fossils.
Yes, Nick Cage, but he was busy.
He was busy at the time.
I didn't hate the episode either, but I just felt like tonally it was just really out there.
It was wild.
Nick Cage, I'm going to steal the fossil of Lucifer's wings when he descended from heaven, along with the Declaration of Independence.
Because it's on the back of the wings. No.
Why did Mikhail... need
Kyle, isn't it, or
Fujiko? I can't say it, but anyway, the angel. Why did he need Fujiko to steal this if he was in there anyway? Is it no just because yet. Like he's an angel and he's not allowed to, or something?
Probably.
He's not allowed to do breaking and entering.
Yeah, he's like a vampire. He can't go inside unless he's invited in.
I don't know.
It's otherwise, weird.
I mean. I don't know.
It is what it is.
Think he'll come back?
No. I agree. Can tell you that no. Anyway, back to the finale of the Sherlock Holmes arc next episode. And I do mean finale.
How many episodes are left in this season?
Oh, part 6? Like, it's almost half over.
Okay,
but Sherlock Holmes is only the first half. So.
Right, okay, and then we're going on to something different for the second
something
half.
Totally different.
Yeah, I do not like how they've just been spreading out the Holmes episodes like this. Should have just been like a straight 6-episode arc or something, or maybe like 3 and 3, but no more than that. I suppose like 1, then 3 one-offs, and then 1, and then 3 more one-offs. That, you know, fuck that organization. It's just been a disaster, I feel.
Okay, well, answer me this question then, Gregs. Was Lupin in this episode at all?
Yes.
Okay. So at the stuff at the beginning when they met up and Jigen was like, I'm out of here. Like
Jigen was like, I don't like this. This is some god shit. Goodbye.
Right.
Okay. But that was Lupin.
I don't think that was Lupin. Like the moment Lupin suddenly shows up in, I don't know.
Like Splinter Cell gear.
I have no idea.
Right. Okay. It just is.
Maybe Lupin never was in this episode because maybe the parts were because like I don't even know that the parts where they were investigating who this Mikhail guy was actually happened. I literally was just seemed to me like Fujiko was like, this guy seems shady. What could happen if I take this job? Turns out it was God. All right, I'm not taking this job.
You would think that would make her want to take the job because it's like you're definitely getting paid. I mean, like, God owes you one at that point, you know? Like, you can call in a favor.
God is like, you'll get what you deserve.
But look what I did for you. You know, it's like, you could call in a pretty big favor.
Breaking and entering? That's the third circle of hell.
He asked her to do it.
I mean, couldn't God just be, like, tough titties and just, like, not, you know...
He could. Turns to a pillar of salt.
He could, but then she could just give it back.
Anyway, I was waiting for Kyle to do the thing where he's just like a glowing orb of eyeballs, and he's just like, be not afraid! Because actually, angels are fucking wacko. Anyway, that was Lupin. How about some more One Piece?
Gold Roger, the king of the pirates, attained every treasure that the world had to offer. Smiling, even as he stood upon the scaffold, he issued a challenge to the world.
You want my treasure? You can have it. I left everything I gathered together in one place. Now you just have to find it.
Now those who dare to dream hoist their flags and sail into the great pirate era.
One Piece, episode 561, a massive confused fight, the Straw Hats versus the new Fishman Pirates. What do you, yeah, well, you got confusion, right?
I call all the Straw Hats were paired up against a major officer except Nami, who got dudes.
Nami is, like, smashed up against some dudes. Robin's not even there.
Yeah, where the heck is Robin?
She's there.
She's like, wait, hold on. Yeah, I saw Poneglyph over there. I'm going to go over there and check it out.
I mean, so the thing with this arc is it's kind of at that spot where Oda's starting to go away from everyone gets their individual fight every arc, you know, but he's not all the way there yet.
It's like there's 5,000 dudes and there's 100,000 dudes on both sides. No time.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, we do get stuff like, haha, you've just suffered a devastating headbutt to your foot.
Okay, that was legitimately funny.
Yeah.
I kind of chuckled at the whole, like, the guy's like, this is my super secret move where I headbutt you in a place you couldn't expect, the bottom of your foot.
From the ground.
Yeah.
It's like,
also,
dude,
do you guys notice that the voice actor for this character, does he feel like he's not a normal voice actor to you?
What do you mean?
Maybe.
Well, I don't know. He sounds kind of... I don't mean this in a negative...
Is that Zio just is, like, ridiculously dramatic all the time?
Well, it's... And I don't... This is going to sound really mean to say, but I don't mean it in a negative way, but he sounds like just an ordinary guy.
Wait,
like,
which character is this?
The guy who has no mouth, the fish man general
the guy.
Zio, the guy, the stripey guy.
Yeah.
He turns invisible.
So the voice actor for this guy, who might have done other things, I don't know. To me, he doesn't sound like a typical voice actor to me. He sounds like someone
funny
else.
English VA, Naze Tarsha.
Yeah, I've never heard his voice before. I don't recognize it. And he doesn't come across as like, because like a lot of anime voice actors have like there's a way that they talk that sounds like a performance, right? Like a character performance. And this guy just sounds like if one of you guys decided, hey, I'm going to apply to be a voice actor for One Piece and you got the part. This guy sounds like that. And again, I don't mean it in a bad way. I think he's doing fine work, but he doesn't sound like the rest of the cast to me. He sounds different.
Right.
It looks like he's done a handful of just Funimation voices. That's about it.
Okay.
So,
I mean, it's just something I noticed. It's just, he sounds very different, but that scene was pretty funny.
To me, I always felt like the voice matched, like this character is kind of a weenie and a joke and like, tries to come off more seriously than it actually is, and I thought the voice was trying to like kind of capture that. So I'm not sure if I don't think the character is necessarily a voice that would be one that deserves respect. So I always got the sense that that's how the actor was playing it, kind of. But okay. You know, maybe I'm off, but that's just the sense I got. Like this, all these fisherman pirates are just fucking weenies. Everyone's a weenie. Horty's a weenie. It's weenie. It's just like. And someone just brought a whole bunch of weenies.
There's also that one guy who's like, he ends everything he says with he. It's like, I'm going to get you, he.
Icarus Munch.
Oh, the little guy who eats things underground, he's the worst.
Oh, is it kaka or haha? Or what is he sentences with?
I don't remember, but I hate his voice.
Dharma.
It's like an imp.
Yeah.
What kind of sea animal is he supposed to be?
He's a cookie cutter shark.
I've never heard of that type of shark before. I'm going to have to look that up. Is that an actual, like, species of shark?
Yes.
Yep.
Species of small, squaliform, sharpness family, Dalatidae. I probably butchered that pronunciation. All right. Well, okay. Right.
They have weird undermouths.
You can see in the pictures, yeah, that has that definitely, that mouth of the shark definitely kind of looks like this dude's mouth.
Anyway,
kind of a deep cut from Oda. I guess I'm kind of impressed.
Meanwhile, everyone is like, Shirahoshi, go left! Have you seen Prometheus? Please go left!
No, she is not.
My understanding is that Prometheus came out shortly after this aired in Japan for the first time.
Huh. Hmm. Well, okay, it's not her fault then, but also, logic! You're literally just making it worse! The ship is gonna just fall even harder onto Fishman Island when Deccan tries to pick up a huge axe and falls over and bonks his head.
She's under a lot of stress. I'm gonna cut her some slack here.
Swim left, man. Nah. Or right. Right's also an option. Not straightforward.
Anyway, so that's bad. Deccan's out. Oh no. I love how he didn't get knocked out by the stabbing with a trident. He gets knocked out because he falls over and bonks his head.
I definitely called him not being dead because this is One Piece. People won't fucking die in this series unless they're in flashbacks.
Or it's like, you know, you see a giant hole in their chest.
Even then.
Ace.
Whitebeard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's... and that leads into episode 562. Luffy loses the fight. Ordy's long-awaited revenge. And I thought I was prepared for Luffy to be like, look defeated in this episode, but that didn't happen. Why did Luffy lose the fight again? I don't know.
I mean, they even seemed like they were coming up with a counter plan. If anything, this seemed to be like on the upswing. I mean, sure, Hordy, I guess, leveled up again, taking more steroids that he pulled out of who knows where. But like, Hordy at no point has ever been threatening. So it's just like, oh, wow, you look uglier now, but you're still not threatening at all.
He's not really threatening. I guess he's mildly threatening, but like the thing is like he keeps doing things, but they don't matter. Like he ends up like hitting Fukuboshi like really hard to the point that Fukuboshi's like laying there. Fukuboshi's and then like,
I'm near dead. And it's like, you look fine to me.
Yeah, he's probably not going to be. He's going to be fine.
He's like cuts Fukuboshi in half like four times this episode, screen flashing, like big dramatic pause and impact frame. Mm-hmm. Like, oh no. And then Fukuboshi, I kind of hurt, guys. It's just like, why you just like One Piece doesn't kill people like the guy?
Oh,
just
he's so strong. Die. Oh, we can't stop Hordy.
Also, I don't like that. Like, he broke Hordy's fin off his back, but then he just takes the steroids and it grows back. And it's like, come on, it'd have been cooler if he had like permanently had removed his fin.
Well, he can't swim without
it. Was that fin part of his body? I thought it was just like a weapon he attached to his back.
No, it's definitely part of his body for sure. I mean, most of the shark fishmen have a fin, so even Charlie has a fin. So, but it's just kind of weak that it's like we have a scene where Luffy is able to break that, and it's like, oh my gosh, he actually did something to him, but then just grows right back. And then they have this big plan. It's revealed what Fukuboshi's plan was, which is to have the people who operate the air on Fishman Island to create a giant bubble to put Noah in.
This is gonna work, guys.
Yeah, we should mention that I guess Hordy broke the last one to prevent Luffy from finding him on the deck in outside the water, but
didn't this episode end? The second episode end with Hordy said something to Fukuboshi?
Hordy said something, but that they didn't say what he said.
He was like Hordy is you don't know.
Everyone shock.
No, it was the, like, you know, what could possibly have happened to you to make you do this? Why are you so acting this way? And he whispered something. We don't know what it is yet.
But it's apparently surprising.
Something probably be like, I kill humans for fun, or like humans did nothing to me, or something that's like, make it clear that Hordy is just, it's not like, oh, no one killed my family or my friends or stole something from me, or, you know, did any of the number of things that make people like really resentful in real life that like, leads to, even if the ends are not at all justifiable, there are lots of examples in real life of people getting shit on so badly that they go buck wild and do fucked up shit. Like, again, kill your family, kill your friends, stole your I don't know, your prized heirloom, whatever. You know, we get it. But Hordy said something to Fukuboshi that was like, oh my god. And so I guess implication is just like, yeah, I like killing humans for fun, or yeah, they did nothing to me. I just fucking hate them because they look funny or something. I don't know. I want to do genocide of my own people because I think humans look funny or something. That was a point that Fukuboshi was bringing up. It wasn't just that Artie was like killing humans. He's about to do a self-genocide. Like, what the fuck?
The dude is seriously messed up.
Oh, yeah, and you guys were right, too. I mean, I knew you were right, but it was definitely illustrated in this episode that Ryuboshi and Manboshi, like, they definitely don't act the way that they do when they're not around their sister.
Well, they were doing it when they first showed up.
Right, but, like, you guys were right. Like, they don't do it all the time. Like, in this whole episode, when they were in the battle, they never once did their stick. So,
right.
I just noticed that. I wanted to mention it.
The thing I noticed, because they made sure I couldn't not notice, was slow pans and zoom-ins to represent the, the ongoing battle at the Fishman Island with all the straw hats and the Fishman Pirates, and even the little children getting in on zooms and pans. Very, very important that they made sure we saw that. But they didn't even end the episode on that. They just stuck in the middle of the episode. I think it was actually the first episode of the night, but it was just, make sure you got eat up that time, Toei's saying to themselves.
I'd like for this fight to be over. Just fucking blow these dudes up already. I know you're going to do it. Just...
We're getting there.
Cody looks even dumber now.
He looks more like a shark now. I will say that. He's got like kind of like dead looking eyes and his like gums are sticking out. But otherwise, yeah, these fights are just like, you're right. We're at the point where it's like, yeah, we just want to get it over with.
Tap your watch, say, get a move on. Let's go. Chop, chop.
Wrap it up. Okay, how about some Shippuden? Naruto Shippuden, episode 397, one worthy as a leader. In this episode, people banging on walls. That's your big plan. Hit the wall.
Yep.
And then a dude is like, haha, I'm going to hit the wall more times. And Neji's like, haha, actually, that was also part of my plan. Ha ha ha.
My trap card.
Yeah, this whole episode was just like 10 minutes of them explaining the premise. If you knock 3 times, then that means this. But if you knock 4 times, it means that. But if it's 5 times, then it means this. And then I do 5 times, and then my teammates know this, and then they don't know that. And blah, 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 blah.
I can't believe this is fucking Shikamaru's big, impressive Britain test bullshit.
Right.
Like, he's just sitting there like, haha, I'm not going to tell anyone that I forgot to soundproof the walls. I definitely didn't do that.
Oh, Shikamaru.
I do think it would have... I literally thought it was going to be, no, you have to know what question they're going to answer, or you can't become a Chunin. Sorry. You don't know your team well enough. Come back here when you know each other well enough.
Was anyone even disqualified?
Well, they disqualified everyone who, like, voted out one of their team members, so...
Oh.
Because he dumped that on them at the end.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that was the second part of the test.
Everyone write down the person you'd leave behind to die. Everyone has to write the same person down. Okay, the answer was nobody. Ha ha,
except Sakura, who wanted to write down Naruto, but she couldn't.
I mean, I think he would have accepted that.
Really?
He's like, ha ha, yeah, fuck Naruto.
You pass, because I don't like Naruto.
And then they're like, all right, so there's still too many of you, because this always seems to happen in these fucking things where they're like, god damn it, there's still too many of you. Fucking run for 3 days, and if you don't get there fast enough, you're gone. Bye. And so like 70 people all show up at the same time, and they're like, well, all of you are disqualified. You're the 70 slow people, the 30 fast people are already through. Sorry. And that's episode 398, the night before the second exam, in which they're all chilling on Dune.
And then Foo breaks out and starts causing mayhem.
What is it with shows and characters wanting to make 100 friends?
I get the impression with her, isn't that like her whole thing is that she's like been like secluded, no one lets her out.
Yeah.
Her village is supposed to hate her so much they just gave her to the Akatsuki, but I guess they, you know.
Is that really what went down? I've heard people say that, but I guess I was just not really aware of how she got captured.
Supposedly. I don't know, maybe she does something in this arc to make everyone hate her.
Doesn't seem like it.
I wonder what it could be.
She pretty much all she wants to do is play backgammon with people or take a bath with them.
Okay. Choji runs out to eat some food. There's a huge dude who sweats a lot.
This dude, like...
I didn't really get the point of that.
He's like the Blob.
I assumed
like Marvel.
I had assumed like his sweat was part of like some jutsu he has or something, but it just seemed like it was all for some sake of some gross joke or something.
I mean, I'm sure he's going to show up in this Forest of Death where it's like, haha, I'm huge, and also you're covered in my acid sweat.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like when he got up to like go to the buffet table, like he like couldn't even, like he had no legs.
That's
he
water.
Was so big. Yeah. How is this guy a ninja? I can't wait to see what his, is he going to be jumping through trees?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know.
Just have a JPEG of him on the screen and it'll just bob it up and down for the animation.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the second test. It's the same one from the last one. You gotta get the scrolls, but this time it's in a desert.
Remind me, I feel like here tomorrow is like, okay, you're all gonna, some of you are gonna die, so be sure to sign a form that says if you die, come to us. And I was like, was that the way in the previous training exam? Didn't they try to go out of their way not to kill people?
Oh no, they showed up to the part, the Forest of Death. One, Forest of Death. It's got death right in the name. And two, they were like, yeah, you're probably going to fucking die, so sign these forms. I mean, remember how... Mm-hmm. I mean, remember that Shino, like, bled some people to death with leeches, and Gaara exploded some dudes.
Gaara is Gaara, so, like, I thought my recollection was that, like, this is going to be dangerous, but not necessarily, like, we're going to kill you, but Gaara's just like, I'm Gaara, so I'm just going to fucking murder people. Cause that's
no,
what
I think it's literally like, all right, now you can kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
If it really is that, like, what this show is missing is the scene before these kids go to school that day where their parents are like, no,
it's well, wait.
The last time I'm ever going to see you, maybe.
No, everyone's a ninja. They're like, well, you're a ninja, so if you die,
wasn't that
you're...
contrast? Because I feel like there was a plot point somewhere in the show where, like, the Village of Hidden Mist or the Village of Hidden Rain, like, wherever the village that Zabara came from, like, they murdered kids as part of their, like, graduation exam or training exam.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Didn't do that. Like, it was obviously harsh, but they didn't go around murdering people as a prerequisite for passing or promotions or stuff. So, like, I thought I remember that being contrast. Like, the leaf exams were harsh, but not like, we're going to kill you. But, like, other villages, like Hidden Rain or Mist, wherever, were like, no, you got to kill someone. You know, you're going to die. Someone.
Right.
So, that's my recollection, but maybe I was off.
No, you're right. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly. Yeah. Like, some villages let their students kill each other openly. And I guess the leaf is just a little less of that.
No. I mean, the leaf. Again, world building in Naruto, everyone's like, the leaf is a great place. That's our ninja way. We need to fight for everyone. And Leaf, meanwhile, is like, your child soldiers, go kill each other. Everyone is like that.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me.
I don't know. I guess I'd have to look like maybe, I don't care enough to do this, but I guess the only way to
defend
the
like question. Literally at in the Forest of Death, remember like the other teams that we know from the leaf were like, hey, maybe we get to kill Naruto.
But let me ask you this, though. Was it a situation where they could, but then, like, some ninja would step in and stop it from happening?
No. Did anyone stop Gaara from exploding those dudes?
No, Gaara was an outlier. Like, you know, Gaara was insane.
Again, I will remind you that Shino caught some dudes in a net and was like, you're getting eaten fatally by these leeches.
Well, there's a difference between fucking someone up and murdering them. There's a big difference, especially in this world. I don't know. My recollection is that Gaara murdering other students was a bit of an outlier, and that for most other people, it was just like, we'll fuck your shit up, and it's a dangerous place, but we're not condoning straight-up murder.
No.
That's my recollection of how the leap was run, but...
No. It's always been,
regardless.
It's always been like, first test, paper, second test, kill each other.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if they didn't do that in the test,
like, what are you gonna do? It's like you're like real ninjas. This is real ninja training. Right.
Once they're through with the training, they're gonna go out and kill or be killed. So that's
their life.
They're also
children, though. So, like, you know,
well, yeah,
like, I don't know, but
I agree. That's why I think it's so weird. Yeah, like, the tone is weird.
There's a difference between like fucking each other up and like condoning murder. But again, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Like, it's not that big a deal.
So it'd be like if the soldiers in Attack on Titan were encouraged to off each other in order to become the best soldier.
Well, they're not out there to fight people. They're out there to fight Titans.
Right. Yeah, that's a bad example. Okay.
Well, I mean, you have Marley and soldiers and whatnot who are out to fight other. You know,
also, hey, if you can kill off some of your other villages and promising young ninja in the tuning exams, great. You don't have
but
to.
But then
kill
that would
later.
Just become a. Then the whole point would just there would be no point to have an exam. It would just be people just murdering each other for the sake of murdering each other. I feel like you kind of do have to actually have an exam. You have to be like, if you die, that sucks. But we're not going to let you actively try to murder each other.
Let me flip the question. What's the consent form do? Like, really?
It's like, really, it's really like, I understand that I can get my ass killed in this test.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but like, if they don't sign it, is someone going to press charges?
No, they just go home. You're just like, well,
you don't get to take the test.
You don't get to take the test. Go home.
Because okay. I remember in the tuning exams, the tournament, like, they wouldn't let the students kill each other. The other ninja, the Junin one would stop, like, actual, you know.
I don't remember that much, honestly.
No,
you get disqualified, but they wouldn't let you murder each other.
That was in like the one-on-one fights.
Yeah, that's what that part I'm talking about.
I
don't know. This doesn't matter enough for us to keep debating this. Let's just move on.
Well, there's nothing to move on to. That's it.
Yeah, that's the end.
What about the giant scorpions? Because like to me, I don't know why you'd put down a settlement. Create a city, a town, a village, whatnot, anywhere where during nightfall you have to worry about giant man-eating scorpions. I would just move. I would just not set up a village there. I would just go somewhere else. Like, that just makes no fucking sense to me. Like, why put up with that shit?
That's because you're smart. And well, this and these is people, the world of Naruto.
They also like, oh, it's traditional that we live in the sand because we're in the hidden sand, people.
There must be some patch of sand where the giant scorpions don't live going around snatching children at night. Like, come on, man. It's
This is to toughen up those kids. They got to be killers. Besides, it doesn't matter. They got food, just kills it in like 2 seconds anyway.
Well, I think the implication is Fu is because she's Jinchuriki.
I know.
It's like, Fu, don't let anyone know you're a Jinchuriki. And she walks into a room with Neji and he's like, that's a Jinchuriki.
Yeah, Byakugan. Knows right away.
Just as a kind of side note, I like how Neji always says, Byakugan. Like, he has to say it out loud to activate it. He can't just, like, do it. He has to say it.
Well, otherwise, how would you know he was doing it?
It's his eyes, like, the veins.
His eyeballs.
You know, yeah, you can see his eyes and the veins that pop up around them. Like, it's visually distinct. Well, it's easier to see someone use the Byakugan than if someone uses a Sharingan, because you don't even have to look at Neji's eyes. You can just look around them.
Yeah, I think this is just a situation where it's like the Japanese anime manga tradition of calling out your move, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I know, but it just seems so. It seems extra absurd here. I don't know why, but.
Anyway, Neji's going to be so impressive this entire test that they're just going to be like, not only are you a Chunin, you're a Jonin now.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying, like, wow, that Neji, he really is on the ball. He's going places. He knows what's going on.
Because remember when Naruto shows back up, Neji's already a Jonin.
Yeah.
Was he? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, like, also Temari was a Jonin. Temari got skipped straight to Jonin, I think, off screen as well.
That's
but also, I think here's the also like I don't like they were never like really they were already basically Jonin back in the tuning exams. They were there because it was a secret invasion plan.
Well, I think they had the skill level for a Chunin or whatnot, but they were technically Genin. But also, like, the person who promotes Genin to Chunin are the respective heads of the village, and the respective head of the sand is her brother. So, like, Gar can just do whatever the fuck he wants. Like, yeah, you're a super Jonin. There you go, or something. You know, triple Jonin, double extra Jonin, or whatever. You whenever you go to Burger King, you get two burgers because you're double Jonin or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's Naruto, and that's the block. for the foreseeable future.
Oh, again, I think end of July this is probably another chance for a change-up, but
I hope
we'll
we get Primal Season 2. That would be nice.
I thought they said it was coming to Adult Swim first, right? At least.
No, they said that about that was Rick and Morty.
No, but not this week. But like when we first talked about it, like a couple weeks ago, when the Genny made had the, when the announcement for Genny Gang signed on with
yeah, no, I think that was include Primal. That's
I think they talked about Primal. I thought they were calling.
Yeah, but he's just signed the deal, and Primal has been in the works for longer than that.
No, but like information about Primal was mentioned at the same time in the same news media in which this deal is mentioned. Not that the deal influenced Primal. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't think they said it would. I don't think they said anything about that. Or like, this is not coming to Toonami.
We'll see soon enough, I suppose. Like, we'll just see soon enough. Our recollection was that it would go to Adult Swim first.
The next week is a marathon
of Shenmue, greatest show to ever show up on Toonami.
Well, I'm assuming we're not going to have the next episode next week because there's nothing to talk about.
I mean, we always skip marathons.
We're not doing episode about the Shenmue marathon. Fuck no.
Just confirming.
Enjoy your 3-day weekend. Anyway, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you, Crocodile.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Seda.
Yep.
Thanks, Seacaller.
No problem.
Thanks, B-Dobs. Thanks, New Craig.
You're welcome.
New Craig. New Craig is better than old Craig. He has.
I'll watch us get off this episode and he just
didn't work at all.
Record. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oops. You're jinxing Wolf it right now. Wolf
made a boopsie.
Don't mess with New Craig.
Later.